Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
What happens when the victim takes the power back? Not just in a statement, not just with tears, but with tactics. What we witnessed in the Idaho courtroom during Brian Koberger's sentencing wasn't just grief, it was strategy. And it was brutal. The Gonzalez family didn't ask for sympathy. They came armed with precision. Olivia Gonzalez didn't beg for justice. She dismantled Koberger's ego in real time, publicly, deliberately, and according to many observers, successfully. Now, victim impact statements aren't usually known for this. They're raw, often heartbreaking, sometimes chaotic. But this was something else. This was targeted psychological warfare. And the new reporting and reaction suggest it may have landed harder than any piece of evidence ever did. Joining me is Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and former head of the Behavioral Analysis Program for Counterintelligence. He's trained to spot what most of us miss, what's real, what's performative, and what cuts through the armor of someone like Koberger. Today, we're breaking down not just what Olivia and her family said, but how they said it, why it worked, and what it may have done to a man who prides himself on being untouchable. From clenching jaws and unblinking stares to the long-term psychological shrapnel these words may have embedded. We're going inside the room and inside the mind with one of the country's top behavioral profilers. So, Robin, when you watch those statements, especially Olivia's, what stood out to you immediately?
Like you, Tony, I'm watching this live with you, and I've watched victim witness statements before, and it started out exactly like I thought it was going to, gut-wrenching with the roommates, with the people that love those beautiful children in their lives. It started with Koberger sitting there stone-faced, you know, just unimpacted by anything, right? And then the Gonzalez's got up there, and when the dad turned the podium towards him directly, and then, like you said, when Olivia got up there and completely eviscerated him, and that's the only word that can come to mind, because I think what they did as a family, and they've been on a tear since the beginning of this, and they've been very open and vocal about it, and Olivia as well. Patterson's book talks about her quite well, about what she was doing on the Facebook groups and pages and stuff. They did such a deep dive on not to tell the story of what they lost, but to make his life miserable as possible. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you're listening to not just Olivia, but her dad, the mom, and just all these people involved, you can see, and I've never seen this before, that they're going to spend the rest of their lives both living and making his a living hell as much as they can. Mm-hmm. It was profound is what it was. I've never been inspired by victim witness statements before. I was inspired listening because they knew how to hit him. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think they must have had consultants that they talked to about how to make an impact with a psychopath, because really that's what they did. You know, they didn't say, woe is me. They didn't say, I mean, she just went at him as a human being.
I have no idea. If she wrote that herself, I mean, it was wonderfully written. But I'm not trying to downplay her performance by any means. It was amazing. But I do wonder if ChatGPT was involved. just a hair. I mean, and I would use it because, it helps you craft what you're wanting to say in the most impactful way possible. And I could see, like, that would have been very helpful in that sort of case to really just... I mean, it was precision strikes directly at Koberger's psyche.
And now the second part of what you said, Tony, how it landed with him.
Yeah.
Hard to tell. You know, he is predictably unresponsive, unemotional and everything. But if we're going to project onto him what we are theorizing him in high levels of psychopathy, again, not licensed clinicians, no testing done, whatnot, but... the words that she used to diminish his academic prowess, to attack him as a man, to attack him in all these different areas, because the only thing that motivates someone that has high levels of psychopathy, as we've said numerous times, is a sense of grandiosity and superiority. Mm-hmm. And that's what she attacked very, very, like you said, precision strikes on absolutely everything. It wasn't the woe is me. I mean, you can almost see him... boy, you can't see it because he didn't give anything. But when all the other victim statements were so emotionally delivered, and gosh, they were so powerful, and you could almost think that someone like him was probably just eating that up because he's just that horrible. But then when she came in there and flipped that script, mm-hmm. I don't want to say she victimized him because he's not a victim, mm-hmm. but she made him feel like a victim.
She put him in his place. Yeah.
100%. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Quite done so well. So if she did use ChatGPT, good. I don't care what.
Good. I don't care what, how she did it, but whatever she did, damn. I mean, 100%. That was amazing. What she did. Many family members, people in the courtroom noted, even Olivia noted, she said to Brian Enten of News Nation that he was clenching his jaw and he might have forgotten to blink. Others noticed the same thing, specifically when Olivia was addressing him. And I noticed that too. With the others, you could tell, like, there was almost like a, I don't know, I want to say jovial, but he was just kind of, I felt like he was eating it up from the very beginning. And then when she came on, you could tell, I mean, and the fact that he did tighten up, his jaws clenched and his eyes are not blinking.
Yep.
What do you think was going through his mind? I mean, is any of that resonating with him? Obviously his prism is so different than everyone else's. So you get, it's like, how is he taking this? Is he just getting hurt and then just lashing out in his brain at her and just calling? I mean, or is it just, yeah. I mean, is it confirmation over and over of what a, you know, pathetic human being he actually is? And it's just, you know, being pounded in again as he had most of his life.
The thing that, again, projecting, trying to use that deep empathy with someone as vile as this, kind of reversing it as he was taking it. And you made some great points, and Brian Enten has always been on top of this. You know, if we saw deviation from that very, very nondescript baseline of his with the jaw clench and everything, it means that he was hearing the words she was saying and it was changing his thought pattern, most likely for the negative, because those are those tightening and stressful reactions he's having. Now, the way I was interpreting using that deep active, you know, context of him from that position, we said this before too, before the sentencing, was that the shame of the verdict in this, where he gets life and not death sentence, was that he has hope every day of change. He has hope of being able to pursue a degree. He has hope of being studied by others because people are so interested in him as a psychopath or as a serial killer wannabe or all these things. And what happened was, every word she was using, every statement she was making, she was taking that away from him. She was diminishing that. In other words, the only thing I was thinking that might be going through his mind was all those things he was actually looking forward to, gone.
Yeah.
And so he might have been playing that forward a little bit, like listening to those words saying, hey, as soon as this is over, as soon as I suck in all your remorse and all the impact I caused, I got a great day coming tomorrow because I'm going to go here and I'm going to do all these things and people are going to want to talk to me. And she completely erased that. Mm-hmm. And she demonstrated, not just for today and Steve, the dad as well, you could tell that they're going to spend the rest of their lives ensuring he never has that moment of glory or fame that he thinks he's going to have. And I think he could sense that. I think he could feel that. And I think he believed it.
Yeah, I think that that's going to come as a little surprise to little Brian. Another big
little
part.
Brian, that's a great word.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Brian.
Little Brian, yeah. Another big part of it, Steve Gonsalves is up there, and we talked about it very briefly during that break, but I want to expand on it more. There was a lot of people who were calling for prison justice in the in the victim impact. I've never seen it that many times in a row. Everything from sodomizing him to killing him behind bars, and it came up a lot from a lot of people. I'm wondering how much Brian Koberger has contemplated that being his future. Or if he thinks he's just going to be back there, you know, writing a book and taking interviews and all of that. I wonder if he's considered, you know, you are going to eventually have to interact with people here. They will put you into Gen Pop at some point in time. And there's a big target on your head. And you have a family out there ready to fill canteens and a world, I would say, that's ready to fill canteens who's followed this case for whoever is the lucky person that takes him out?
That's a great question because it resonated with me as well. Matter of fact, it's because we do so much true crime and because people, you can look at your search, you know, things that you put in Google and everything. I actually precluded myself from putting it into Google this morning. Can someone actually do, you know, from the outside, like can Steve Gonsalves actually put a hit on Brian behind bars and would he be prosecuted for it? I mean, I was really curious about it as well. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious about that as well, but I was afraid to put it in the Google machine to find out. That being said though, I would have been 100% on thinking that, that's a likelihood, but at the same time, How often does that happen? It's like, you know me, I'm always going for data and baselines on frequency, commonality, and I just don't have any data points on. I need to do some deeper research without triggering Google to come at me.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about, he's a scary guy. He's a little scarier than I thought he was going to be because that one jailhouse report we had of the one guy that was going to like hit him or got pissed off at him, and then Brian's reaction to him was creepy, scary.
Yeah.
So it'll be really, really interesting if anyone wants to give him a time of day again to kind of see if anyone's willing to engage him just because, I mean, he's a cesspool.
He is a cesspool, I don't think he's that intimidating to a lot of people behind bars.
No, I don't think he's intimidating. Yeah, again, it's just the if.
You just don't know what he's going to do. Like that would be the thing. You just don't know what that mind is going to produce, and then what.
That was also in the jail, not in the prison population, which is very different. Yeah. I think what he got during the victim statements in the sentencing was not the rosy. Life he thought he was going to have it turned dark for him than I think he anticipated.
Yeah,
thankfully.
I don't know that this has ever been I've joked about it over the years of like somebody should start a business, Canteen for Kills. I mean, it's totally insane and illegal, and you couldn't actually do it
till this.
Like you're literally like it would be a hit machine, but you can't do that. But I mean, I suppose if you were to literally be in contact with a prisoner, I mean, all that shit's monitored, obviously, and you were saying, "I'll fill your canteen directly in a letter." Yeah, you would be charged with murder, with ordering. Well, but if you don't do it directly, if you're just in the ether like this, and people are like, hey, I wonder what that, I would bet people would fill the canteen of whoever does that. Not like, go do it, but just that person knows damn well they will have canteen for the rest of their lives. They'll be the Snickers king if that happens.
So, and here's what I can envision happening more likely than not. And this is what was really, again, I don't know if it was part of the design or not, or it's just manifesting because of it. The reality, you know, I love playing these things forward from the actions we've witnessed and had. Right now, whoever watched inside that prison, who's in population, watched his sentencing, is thinking to themselves, without anyone filling anyone's canteen, without anyone reaching out to them, is thinking to myself, I can be a hero.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything and I will be a hero.
You don't even need incentive, honestly, I think, on this. I mean,
exactly. See what I mean? Yeah. So the Consalvises actually set Koberger up for a very, very rough time whenever he actually hits general population, no matter what anyone else says from that point of view. So that to me was the most grandest strategy, whether by design or chance, that I've ever seen. Yeah. Because he's doomed.
What Olivia Gonsalves did in that courtroom wasn't just about closure. It was about consequence. And for someone like Brian Koberger, consequence don't look like regret. It looks like losing the one thing he still thought he controlled, perception. Perception of power, perception of superiority, perception that he was still somehow the smartest person in the room. Not anymore. Robin laid out clearly. Olivia didn't appeal to empathy. She struck where it hurts a narcissist most, his ego, his intellect, his identity. And when you take that away, there's not much left. You could see it in his body language, tight jaw, frozen stare, mechanical posture. He didn't crumble. He calcified. It's not strength. That's fragility disguised as discipline. But here's what's even more interesting. This wasn't just a statement. This was a message. Not just to Koberger, but to anyone like him. Anyone who thinks terror grants immortality. Anyone who thinks notoriety equals relevance. What the Gonsalves family did, intentionally or not, was strip him of myth. They made sure that was his name. Instead of being feared or studied, would reduce it to what it was and what he always was. Pathetic, mockable, a failed intellect with no legacy, no power, and no hope of being remembered as anything other than the coward that he is. Maybe that's the most important takeaway, because life without parole doesn't just mean never leaving prison. It means living long enough to be forgotten by the people you try to impress. Koberger walked into that courtroom expecting a sentence. He left with something much heavier. The promise that the Gonsalves family and the world would make his anonymity permanent. That's psychological justice. And in this case, it might just be the most painful kind. Let me know what your thoughts are in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. And search that where you get podcasts. You don't miss our podcasts as well. You can take us on the go that way and watch us on YouTube as well. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Until next time, for all of us, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.